Luke chapter 7. The message today is the counsel and will of God for sinners. We've been reading in past weeks about John the Baptist, about what our Savior said concerning him. And starting at verse 27, speaking of John the Baptist, our Savior says, "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is none greater than John. Yet he that is but little in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people, when they heard, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected in regard to themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. Wherefore then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children that sit in the marketplace and call one to another, who say, We piped unto you, and ye did not dance. We wailed, and ye did not weep. For John the Baptist is come, eating no bread, nor drinking wine. And ye say, He hath a demon. The Son of Man is come, eating and drinking. And ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And wisdom is justified of all her children." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that thou hast recorded so many of the incidents in the life of thy Son. We confess, our God, that had some of these things been up to us, we would have omitted them. The ones when thy Son suffered such contradiction of sinners, and then the ones that put men in such a bad light. But our Father, thou hast recorded them all, and we thank you for the prophet. We thank you, our Father, for the lesson to be learned that is contained in these inspired scriptures, and that is why we're here today. So by thy Spirit, Father, vain is the power and help of man. By thy Spirit, reach the hearts of those who hear. And you have said concerning your servant, they so preach the word that many believe. May thy word be so preached that it may become effectual in the hearts of men. Only you can accomplish this. So, our Father, we would be clean as those who speak the name of thy Son. So we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is a remarkable passage of Scripture, and it must be considered carefully and not set aside, not passed over lightly, but taken to heart as to two things. One, God making known his counsel and his will toward sinners, and also the power of those sinners by a stubborn, unyielding will to set aside the counsel of God in regard to themselves. Whatever version you have, you notice that when I read it to you, I read it somewhat differently. I gave you a fair interpretation of the word. It said that the Pharisees and the lawyers, and the word is rejected. They set aside, they annulled the counsel of God for themselves in regard to themselves being not baptized of John. So think on this, that God has a counsel and God has a will for sinners. That's the first thing. And the second thing is this. You are able to set aside the counsel of God regarding you. Some would cry, it is impossible, for who hath resisted his will? Why, God tells us this himself. I would not presume to tell you or answer that question unless God had answered it. And Stephen, before he was stoned, said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. So do not tell me that men do not resist when the last words of Stephen, that just and righteous man, was the condemnation of Israel saying, you resist the Spirit of God. It has been going on from the beginning. We see the overtures of God to the heart of men, and we see men resisting those overtures. But, in case man might not understand, the Lord tells us plainly what his counsel is for man, what his will is for man, and then he tells us that what he counsels can be set aside, and what he wills can be rejected. I simply tell you these things in the very words of Scripture, because one dare not say such a thing unless God himself said such a thing. But now, concerning John the Baptist, first, the Lord Jesus tells us remarkable things concerning him. He tells us that of those born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Think of that. From the time of Adam to the time of John, there had never arisen anyone born of women greater than John the Baptist. He may have had equals. There may have been Moses his equal. There may have been Isaiah his equal. There may have been Elijah his equal. But there had not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And this one who was without superior had this said concerning him through his disciples. And say to John, blessed is he who shall find no occasion of stumbling in me. This is what our Lord says concerning whom no man is greater. It says in James chapter 5 that all of these great ones of whom we've read and whom we admire, it says, they were men of like passion with us. And I would like to think that Moses was not a man of like passion, but he was. And I would like to think that Elijah was not a man of like passions, but he was. And I would like to think that David, a man after God's heart, was not a man of like passions, but he was. And concerning the very best that God can produce, I would like to think that he was different. He was without blemish. But there is only one without spot and without blemish, and that is the Lord Jesus. I say that, first of all, to prepare you who would listen to the message of God, because most of us hear the message of God through the servant of God. And if the best that God can produce among men has a flaw, are you waiting for some perfect man to tell you the message of God that is perfect and without flaw? Then you will wait till doomsday, because there has never been a servant of God that was not a man of like passions. But there's not one. If you could look into his heart the way the Lord Jesus looks into the heart, he knew what was in man. You would find flaw. You would find sin. You would find imperfection. And I tell you that to prepare you for the reception of the message, that you might acknowledge that the one who is telling me this is a man of like passions, an imperfect man. Why, like that woman at the well of Samaria. The people knew what she was. The Savior knew what she was. And yet she went and told them about a man who had told her all things that ever she did. And people believed on the Lord Jesus through her. Others said, we believe him. But others heard her message. So tell me, you who were saved, tell me a perfect servant of God who told you how to be saved. You say there is no such thing. But tell me, is it the servant or the message that he brings? You say, it is the message that he brings. In fact, some of the finest messages of God have been brought by wicked creatures of God. Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesied, moved of the Spirit of God to tell about the necessity of one dying for the nation, that the whole nation perish not. That's of God. And all of the prophecies of Balaam, magnificent prophecy, that he was a lover of base gain. He was a false prophet. And yet, he was used of God to utter truth. So, what I suggest is to examine carefully what a man says. And if the man is a great sinner, then look more carefully at the message. And even if he is a good man, like John the Baptist, if he is someone like Paul, be noble the way the Bereans were. They listened to him. They received gladly the words that he spoke. But they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So whether you fear a man or whether you respect a man, then listen to the man and then search the scriptures as to what he says or so. The Lord Jesus says, I'm presenting before you one who has no superior born of women. And he tells us things about him. That even he at times, because of his misconception and his preconception of what the will of God should bring to pass, how God's program should be immediately inaugurated, because of these things, he can become impatient and can send a message to the Savior. Are you he that comes, or look we for another? Because we are all men of like passions. But the Lord Jesus tells you that even though he sends this message, and even though I say to him through his disciples, blessed is he who finds no occasion of stumbling in me, I want you to know that he is the messenger of God. He is the one of whom it is prophesied, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. You understand that? This man, what he says, for those who enter the kingdom, is God's messenger. And therefore, we must listen to this message. We must accept it. He is God's messenger. It makes no difference if he is imperfect. He is God's messenger, and under the inspiration of the Spirit, he speaks the words of God. And God holds us responsible to listen to that man. He tells us that John the Baptist is one who brings a message of God, and he tells us that he himself is another who brings the message of God. If I ask you to compare the messages that John the Baptist brought and the messages the Lord Jesus brought, are they similar or dissimilar? You say, well, I remember that the messages of the Lord Jesus on most occasions were messages of love and compassion, messages of tenderness. Yes, at times there was reproof and rebuke, but so often we find the messages of the Savior looking upon the multitudes, being moved with compassion. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As a whole, those are the messages of the Savior. If I ask you about John the Baptist, what you will say is this. I remember his message. When people were coming out to be baptized, he said to them, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. That is the message of John the Baptist. One of austerity, one of severity, whereas the one of the Lord Jesus is one of compassion, one of love, one of gentleness, toward all those who come unto him. But let me ask you this. Because the message of John the Baptist is one of severity, does it mean that you can reject it? You say, no. But because of the message of Christ that is one of compassion, does it mean that you will automatically accept it? And the answer is no. But it means this, that God has the same message, but he presents it to his servants in different ways. There are different personalities to the servant of God. Some are severe, some are austere, some are filled with fire and wrath, and then others are filled with love and compassion. But God holds you responsible to respond to all his servants, because ultimately their message is for the same reason, that you may enter the kingdom of God. And some must be shaken from their sins before they will turn from their evil ways. And others must be ruled by the love of God. And God, in his goodness, is willing to approach sinners in both these ways. He says, I will shake you from your sin. And he sends John the Baptist. And he says, I will woo you in love from your sin. And he sends the Lord Jesus. But both of them are manifestations of the love of God. Both are messengers from God to love men, telling them he wants you to be saved. And this is what it says concerning John the Baptist. He came preaching the baptism of repentance unto forgiveness of sins. So, repentance, forgiveness of sins. And that is what the Lord Jesus came for. He came into the world to save sinners. He came that men might repent, believe, and be saved. You say, why, then they both preach the message of God. Yes. One, like unto a demon-possessed man, and the other one, like unto a drunkard, a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. You say, they are harsh words. Yes. And I want you to remember them. Because I told you last week that the Lord Jesus says things behind your back. And at the same time, you say things behind the Lord Jesus' back. You do not always know what he says behind your back. That's why he says them behind your back. Eventually they may get to you, but he says them behind your back. But what you say behind his back, you would never tell him to his face. You do not want him to know those things. Why are you not saved? Oh, because Jesus was just an ordinary man. Why, he associated with the wrong people. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. I see. Well then, when you stand before him, because the only way you're going to get into heaven is through the Lord Jesus. No one comes into the Father by him, but by him, I tell you, you stand before him as you seek to enter heaven and tell him, the reason that I did not receive your message is because you are a wine bibber. You drank too much. You are a friend of publicans and sinners. Try telling him that when you want to get into heaven. You'll never tell him that. You would never tell him that to his face. And at the same time, John the Baptist, if he is there, and you want to get into heaven, tell him, well, I would have repented and been baptized, but you are demon-possessed. Well, that's the reason that I rejected your message. Tell them that when you get to heaven, and see if God will accept it and say, why, come in. John was rather demon-possessed, and yes, my son was over-indulgent in the comfort of life. Do you think God will accept you that way? What happens is this, is that men hear the message of God, and it grips their soul, and they know the message of God is true. And the only way that they can abstain from accepting the message and entering the kingdom of God is to talk down the messenger through whom it comes. If it is the truth of God, then they have to accept the truth of God. But they do not want to accept the truth of God, so they will disparage the servant of God, thinking that that will justify them, and God will look down with pleasure and say, yes, I will accept your rejection of my message because John the Baptist was not the best, and my son was not the best. But the point is this, the Father has said concerning his son, the messenger, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And he has said concerning John the Baptist that his message was from heaven. I want to tell you this now, because you must understand it. That if a man is God's messenger, of necessity, you must accept his message. The Lord Jesus was challenged when he was cleansing the temple. He said, by what authority doest thou this? And the Lord Jesus said, let me ask you a question. And if you will answer my question, I will answer your question. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? And they started taking this in themselves. They said, if you say it's from heaven, he will say, well, why then did you not believe him? They saw that. If they confessed that John's message was from heaven, they had to believe it. And they said, if we say it's from men, why, the people believe that John is a prophet, and they will swoon. The only way to evade this issue is to say, we do not know where the baptism of John was from. And the Lord Jesus said, well, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But you see that they're self-condemned. They know that if John's message was from heaven, they must submit unto that message, no matter what they might say about John. We are looking at the messenger, hoping that if we can find some flaw in the servants of God, we will be justified in continuing a life of sin. But God says, this shall never excuse you for your rejection of the truth of God. The truth of God, that is what will condemn you in the last day. This is what God wants you to understand. And the Lord Jesus, having looked at the children of Israel, divides them into two groups. They are like unto children, children of folly, petulant, fretting, dissatisfied, children without wisdom, who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. They cannot be satisfied with anything that comes their way. And then the Lord Jesus says, wisdom is justified by all her children. There are wise children, the children of wisdom, and then there are the children of folly. Remember, there are two classes. Now, concerning these children that sit in the marketplace, all of them are to be condemned. If I had to explain to you this difficult portion, I would take it in its simplest way. That the Lord Jesus had seen children in the marketplace playing with one another, fretful, petulant, children that could not be satisfied with anything that others suggest. They are like unto those that call unto their fellows. Let's play this game. No, 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 we are not going to play that game. Well then, let's play this game. No, 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 we are not going to play this game. In other words, they do not want to play any game. That's how children are. And the Lord Jesus said, that's how you are. He said, now I'm going to tell you about myself. He said, I'm going to tell you about John the Baptist. I'm going to tell you this, that John the Baptist came eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say concerning him, he has a demon. You see, if you want to play funeral, that's John the Baptist. No, we don't want to play funeral. Well then, we'll play the pipe. We'll have a merry tune. We'll have a marriage feast. No, we don't want to play the marriage feast. The Lord Jesus said, I am like the one that would be a marriage. He said, now you have rejected John, and you have rejected me, and therefore there is nothing that lies before you other than destruction. You say, you told me that the message was going to be the counsel and will of God for sinners. Yes. And this is what our Savior says is the counsel of God. And I will tell you other passages that tell you of the will of God for sinners. It says, concerning the people, these are the wise people. Thank God. The people, the ordinary people, the common people, the multitudes of the people, the ones that have not been spoiled by preconceived ideas such as the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the lawyers. This kind of person, the multitudes, they responded to the preaching of John. And then there are others, like unto the Pharisees and the lawyers, they do not respond to the preaching of John. But now listen. Listen to how the Savior puts it. He says that the people and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. They justified God. You've heard of God justifying men, but the Bible talks about men justifying God. To justify is to account a person right. Correct. Therefore, when God sends a message from heaven, if you are going to justify God to account him right, then you say all that your message contains is true. You are right. I am wrong. That is how you justify God. Have you ever not been justified, but have you ever justified God? To justify God is to hear the message through his true servant and to say, you are right. You are right in every evil thing that you say concerning me and every good thing you say concerning your son, the Lord Jesus. I justify you, my God. And it said, concerning the children of wisdom, it said, they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. They had to. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, when he asked that question, got the answer to that from the lips of his enemies. Is his baptism from heaven? If we say it is from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe us? To acknowledge that God's message is one from heaven, you have to do what that message says. And in the case of John the Baptist, if they wanted to enter into the kingdom, they had to repent, and they had to show that the repentance was genuine by submitting to water baptism. They had to repent, and they had to be baptized. And it said that they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. To refuse that baptism was to say God is wrong. To refuse that baptism is to say, I reject your message. Why? Because God's message through John is this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. That's the message from heaven. And no matter what God tells you, if it's his message, and if it includes many things, you must do all of those things. And John's message from heaven is this. Repent and be baptized. Now, the baptism would no more render sins forgiven than any other work of man. But if God said, repent and be baptized, and he was demanding that the evidence of true repentance and faith in the Messiah was to be manifested by baptism, to refuse that baptism was an open acknowledgement that you did not believe, that you had not repented. The baptism in itself did not save, did not forgive sins. But it was an open, outward truth that you had truly repented. And God said, repent and be baptized. And it says this. It says that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God concerning themselves in regard to themselves being not baptized of John. Think of that. They rejected the counsel of God in regard to themselves being not baptized. The Lord Jesus tells us what the counsel of God is. It is that men in his day, at this time, repent and be baptized and receive eternal life. That's the counsel of God. You see, they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, the baptism of repentance, resulting in everlasting life, resulting in the forgiveness of sins. And that is the counsel of God for every sinner. What is God's counsel that he has deliberated, come to this conclusion? What is his counsel? It is this, that you should obey the part of his message through his messengers, whether it be the message through Moses, through Isaiah, through John the Baptist, through Peter, or through his servants that are alive today. It is that you obey the parts of his messages, and that obeying them, eternal life
will be the result.
I know the counsel of God for you. The counsel of God for you is to repent and believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. God's counsel is that you might be saved. And I tell you that you can reject God's counsel for you by saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you stand before God, I want you to understand that He will tell you, why did you reject my counsel? And you will have no answer. You will be speechless because you're not going to say, well, you didn't want me to be saved, or I was not among the elect. I did not like your messenger. You will not say those things to God. God will say, my counsel to you was to believe the message from heaven. Even the enemies of Christ knew that. If we say His message was from heaven, He will say, why did you not believe it? And God's message from heaven was that you were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that promised Messiah, resulting in forgiveness of sin. That is the counsel of God for even those that rejected this counsel. So I ask you this. Is it possible for a finite sinner to reject the thwart the counsel of God? And the answer is yes, because the Lord Jesus said it. Not one of you would be in hell if you wanted to be saved. All these people that say, there are men that want to be saved, but they're going to be lost. There will never be one man who wants to be saved who will be lost. There will never be one man who can say, your counsel was that I might be damned. The counsel of God is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of sin. That is the counsel of God. The same word, the root word, is used in 2 Peter 3:9, and you listen to it. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, and that's the same root word, not counseling, that any man should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. The same thing that John was preaching, repent. And it says the counsel of God is not that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance. I know the counsel of God for you. He wants you to come to repentance and not perish. Now, listen to what our Savior says in Matthew 18, speaking that parable about the 99. Concerning the one that was found, the Savior said, why, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repented than over the 99 that need no repentance. And then he adds this, and never forget it. This is what it literally says. It is not a thing willed of your Father that one of these little ones perish. Nobody is going to say it's God's will that I perish. It is not the will of your Father. This is what the Lord Jesus said. It is not the will of the Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And those going around saying, oh, God is willed that one should perish. The Lord Jesus said, it is not the thing willed of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. And He says the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It said concerning our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in due time. God's will is that all men should be saved. This is what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 6. He said, this is the will of my Father, the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who beholdeth the Son and believeth in Him should have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. He wants you by faith to behold the Son. And then He wants you to believe on the Son. And He wants you to have everlasting life. And He promises you this, that in the coming day, He will raise you up. This is the will of God. But I told you that concerning the counsel of God, they regard for themselves, they set aside the counsel of God. And the Lord Jesus says the same thing again and again. He said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. And you will not come unto me that you may have eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, you will not come that you may have eternal life. He says this also in Matthew chapter 23. For Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I, it is my will, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. If you are lost, it's because you would not. If you are lost, it's because you have rejected in regard to yourself the counsel of God. The counsel of God is that you should repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. The counsel of God is that you should turn from your evil ways and live. This is what Ezekiel said so long ago. He said, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And O sinner, why will you die and go to hell? The counsel of God is that you should believe and be saved. The will of God is that not one little one should perish. God wills you to be saved. By his grace, not set aside the will of God, the counsel of God, but receive the will of God and say, God, you are right. And then you will know something about the justification of God. I'm with you. Let us pray. And Father, we are thankful that you have made known unto us your counsel, your will concerning men. Is that not why you sent your Son into the world? This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And concerning those sinners, that world of sinners, our God, he is not willing that any should perish, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, bring these hardened sinners, these childish sinners that would play games with your servants. Show them, Father, that they are like unto children in the marketplace, but show them that their petulance and their childishness has eternal consequences, and they shall perish. Whereas your will, Father, is that they may have their sins forgiven, come to the knowledge of the truth. So by thy Spirit, change their hearts, incline their faith and gaze toward thy Son, and save souls, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.